From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On our previous program, Dr. Cairns began a series of messages focusing upon the various occasions in which the Lord Jesus Christ referred to himself by that ineffable name, I Am. This is the name by which God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. I am that I am. Here is the revelation of the God of eternity, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. During his earthly ministry, Christ applied this matchless name to himself, clearly stating his deity, that he was and is God manifest in the flesh. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon.
Our text for this morning is found in Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 5. I will cut off them that worship and that swear by the Lord and that swear by Malcolm. Such persons thought themselves safe because they were with both parties. They went with the followers of Jehovah and bowed at the same time to Malcolm. But duplicity is abominable with God, and hypocrisy his soul hateth. The idolater who distinctly gives himself to his false god has one sin less than he who brings his polluted and detestable sacrifice unto the temple of the Lord, while his heart is with the world and the sins thereof. To hold with a hare and run with the hounds is a dastard's policy. In the common matters of daily life, a double-minded man is despised, but in religion he is loathsome to the last degree. The penalty pronounced in the verse before us is terrible, but it is well deserved. For how should divine justice spare the sinner who knows the right, approves it, and professes to follow it, and all the while loves the evil and gives it dominion in his heart? My soul, search thyself this morning, and see whether thou art guilty of double dealing. Thou professest to be a follower of Jesus. Dost thou truly love him? Is thy heart right with God? Art thou of the family of old Father Honest? Or art thou a relative of Mr. Byends? A name to live is of little value, if I be indeed dead in trespasses and sins. To have one foot on the land of truth, and another on the sea of falsehood, will involve a terrible fall and a total ruin. Christ will be all or nothing. God fills the whole universe, and hence there is no room for another God. If then he reigns in my heart, there will be no space for another reigning power. Do I rest alone on Jesus crucified and live alone for him? Is it my desire to do so? Is my heart set upon so doing? If so, blessed be the mighty grace which has led me to salvation. And if not so, O Lord, pardon my sad offense, and unite my heart to fear thy name.
Truly
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've made mention of Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the ltbsradio.com website. But in addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Today, Dr. Cairns continues the fifth in a series of messages on the I Am statements of Christ, as found in the Gospel of John. On 7 occasions, the Lord Jesus used of himself that name which belongs to God alone, I Am. The text for this message is verses 10 through 18 of John chapter 10. In verse 11, the Lord Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. Implicit in this statement is Christ's claim to be the exclusive shepherd. In other words, a declaration of his deity. Dr. Cairns has traced the figure of the divine shepherd through the Old Testament scriptures and has shown that Jesus Christ alone fulfilled those requirements. We've seen that Christ, the divine shepherd, was sent by God, and yet at the same time he is also God. The Father loves the Son because of who he is and because of what he has done. As the divine shepherd of his flock, the Lord Jesus gives life to his sheep. In this connection, Dr. Cairns explains what Christ meant when he said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And now, to bring God's word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
Go back to Ezekiel 34. Beyond the passage that we read, or actually just at the end of the passage we read, should I say, the last verse we read, and this is what the Father, this is what God says. He says, I'm the shepherd, verse 12. I will be the shepherd myself. But now listen. God says, I'm the shepherd, verse 23. I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. This is the description of the Lord Jesus, of the Messiah. He shall feed them. He shall be their shepherd. Much the same thing is said in Ezekiel 37 and verse 24. You remember how the prophet Zechariah puts it? This is the Lord speaking in Zechariah 13:7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow. That's a word that denotes entire equality. Saith the Lord of hosts. I want you to see the force of that. God says, I'm the shepherd, but yet the shepherd is also the Messiah who is sent by God, the one against whom the sword of the Lord is awakened, and yet the one who is, God says, my equal, my fellow. Again, just by the way, the only theology that can do justice to the statements of Scripture is Trinitarianism. I get sick listening to people talk rubbish on this doctrine of God. They want to impose human logic on it. And they tell me, and you read this all the time, that the Bible doesn't use the word Trinity. So therefore the doctrine is man-made. Well, that is absolute rubbish. Look at what the Bible says. And it is impossible, utterly impossible, to make sense of it apart from the Trinitarian truth. So here you've got the divine shepherd. He is God, and yet he's sent by God. Jesus makes it all clear in John chapter 10, where he speaks of himself as the shepherd, and he speaks of his Father as the one who did the sending. In verse 18, at the end of the verse, he declares his Father's commission. You'll notice that he says, this commandment or this charge have I received of my Father. Now, the Father in this, and I'm going to be very brief here because I want to get to the main part of the message. The Father charged him to show himself to be three things. Number one, the shepherd. Number two, the sacrifice. The shepherd of the sheep, the sacrifice. It is true that shepherds could give their lives so that the predator would not overtake the sheep. But the Lord Jesus took that and went a whole lot further. He was not just a victim laying down his life as a shepherd would under those circumstances. He gave his life as a sacrifice on behalf of and ultimately in place of his sheep. And then the Father charged the Lord Jesus to show himself as the sovereign with power or right or authority over life and death. He says, I have the right to lay down my life. Stop there for a minute. Do you realize there's no other person on earth has the right to say that? You do not have the right to lay down your life. And most assuredly, you do not have the right to take it up again. He says, I have that right, I have that power, I have that authority. You and I may have our lives taken from us, even when we say we lay down our lives for someone else. In actual fact, while what we're doing may be extremely noble, our lives are still being taken from us. Jesus says, nobody can take my life. You realize what that's saying? We read over those words. They had tried to kill him. Couldn't do it. Why? The scripture simply says, his day had not yet come. We read at the very beginning of his ministry that they took him to a steep place near Nazareth where they tried to throw him over. Now there's a milling crowd. And he passed through them. They couldn't kill him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Satan tried to kill him. Couldn't kill him. This is the Savior's statement. Nobody can take my life. I have the power, I have the right, I have the authority to lay it down. I am free to lay down my life. What a statement that is. Not only of his sovereignty, but of his willingness The Lord Jesus was not forced to do this. It was the freedom of his own will. I am free to lay down my life, and then I'm free to take it up again. This was the Father's commission, to go to be the shepherd with all that that entails, to go to be the sacrifice, but as the sovereign to rise again from the dead. That's the commission of the Father to the Son. And there's this lovely statement where he declares the Father's complacency, and I use that word in its proper theological meaning. Complacency speaks of the Father's pleasure in and with the Lord Jesus Christ, the love that he bears to him because he deserves to be loved. I want you to understand that. That's a beautiful word that should never be lost from our theological vocabulary. There are many aspects to the love of God. The one thing God could never do for you or me is love us with the love of complacency. There's not a thing in you or me that God could ever love. He loves us despite what we are. He loves us despite what we have done. He does not love us because of what we have done. But when he looks at the Lord Jesus, he loves him because of what he is. He loves him because of what he has done. He loved him from all eternity because he is his fellow. He is his son. But here particularly, he says, therefore doth my Father love me. Why? Because I lay down my life that I might take it again. In other words, the Father who loved the Son from eternity, the Father who, according to Matthew 3:17, loved the Son in everything that he had ever done, the Father who loves everything about him, looks particularly upon his death and upon his rising again from the dead and says, peculiarly, particularly, preeminently, in all the ministry of Christ, that's what I love. I love him. You look at Christ when he comes to the cross. I say this very reverently, in human terms, through human eyes. I don't think that human eyes have ever looked upon a more disfigured, a more bloodied. And I have scripture for this. A more ugly sight. Isaiah says, his visage was more marred. I think I could put it was so marred that it wasn't even recognizable as such. When people saw him, there was no beauty in him to make him desirable. You see a figure masked in blood, a face brutalized beyond description. Men saw no beauty. To this day, the ungodly see no beauty in a crucified Christ. Apostates mock the blood that he shed and deride it constantly. But when God looks upon that sacrifice at Calvary, therefore doth my Father love me. And when he burst the bonds of death and exercised his sovereign prerogative and that freedom that he had and took his life again, and rose from the dead, triumphant from the tomb. Therefore doth my Father love me. Here's the divine shepherd doing his work, commissioned by the Father, basking in the approbation of his Father. That leads me to the final picture that the Savior paints, and that is the divine shepherd and his flock. And he gives us a very full statement of the relationship between the shepherd and the flock. According to verse 10, the first thing is he came with the specific purpose of giving life to the sheep. Verse 10, I am come that they might have life. Now that's again something that no earthly shepherd could ever say. The shepherd comes to tend the sheep that have life, but he can't give them life. I am come that they might have life. And the Authorized Version says, and that they might have it more abundantly. It's caused a whole lot of controversy. And what exactly does that mean? What does it mean? Sounds so simple until you stop to think, what can it mean? Are there degrees of eternal life? Can you be partly alive? More alive? When God quickens you, what is this more abundantly? There are some, and I think there's a lot to be said for their view, at least. It's true, whether it's good exegetics or not, I don't know, but it's true. He came to give life to those who were dead. He came to people, and there were many pious Jews, the scripture speaks of some of them, who already had life, but the more abundance means that they had now greater clarity, greater assurance, greater ground for enjoyment. A whole lot of truth in that. I think you could say that while there's only one eternal life, there are many different levels of enjoyment of that life. That's true. So that could be the meaning. But you know, I think the whole thing is a whole lot simpler than that. What Jesus said, let me give it just its literal force. What Jesus said was, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have an abundance. I have come to give life to my sheep, and I've come to give my sheep an abundance. Not just an abundance of life, an abundance of everything. Isn't that what the whole New Testament's all about? Isn't that the constant, repetitious message of Paul? He's always talking about this overflowing fullness that there is in Christ. There's an abundance. Whatever you need, there's that abundance in Christ. And he wants us to live in his fullness. This is what he's saying. I have come to give life to my sheep. But not just to give them life and let them wander around, emaciated little creatures, scrawny little things in the hillside. I have come that they might live in my fullness. I have come that they might live in my abundance.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening. and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.